It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Wild weather, coast to coast. Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast.
Both coasts dealing with extreme weather.
Correspondent Blaine Alexander gets us started.
On the West Coast, of course, it's that heat wave that's bringing record temperatures. But here on the East Coast, the issue is rain and lots of it.
Let's start on the East Coast, where the I-95 corridor got pounded with heavy rain this morning, and there's more to come. Meteorologist Dylan Dreyer.
It's going to remain unsettled all day long, and with the ground saturated, any additional rain, that could lead to a flood risk as well.
They could use some of that rain out west, which continues to bake in an historic heat wave. This woman in Sacramento describing how she's coping today.
Horrible. It's just so hot.
Triple digit temperatures in the forecast again today in California, which is urging residents now to reduce their power use in order to prevent rolling blackouts. March to the midterm. That's the other big story we're following today. Republican Tom Emmers of Minnesota predicting a red wave come November.
This is a security election. It's about groceries and gas. It's about being safe and secure in our homes and our communities. Democrats have caused this problem. They're going to pay for it at the ballot box.
Not so fast, says Democrat Sean Maloney of New York.
We're going to hold the majority in the House because we have a plan to fix the problems our country is facing. The other side has only a ploy to win back power for themselves. And ripping away our constitutional freedom, our reproductive freedom, has awakened millions of voters.
Just 62 days to go till the vote, and now both Democrats and Republicans have launched a full court blitz to turn out the vote, with a balance of power at stake in Washington. President Biden tried to make the election about Donald Trump.
And democracy is really at stake. You can't be a democracy when you support the extreme right. The Trumpies.
The president at a rally in Pittsburgh yesterday, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan.
If he wants to put President Trump on the ballot, great. I think that's good because Americans remember how good we had it under President Trump. So if he wants to do that, just fine.
Still, the latest poll from Quinnipiac suggests that the red wave, which existed at the beginning of summer, has all but dissipated now. It is back to school today in Uvalde, Texas. Students returning to the classroom for the first time since the mass shooting in May. Chris Fox has our report.
Robb Elementary, the site of the mass shooting, is set for destruction. Its 550 students have been relocated to schools throughout the district. Security upgrades include non-scalable fences, new locks, cameras, and improved Wi-Fi, but the district's been slow to install them. One of the questions that will be answered here is how many students feel safe enough to return.
I don't want to go to your guys' school if they don't have protection.
Maria Rodriguez graduated from Robb Elementary in 1960, and her message to the kids, be strong.
A new day, it's a new life. We can't change things, but we can make the best of it.
Statewide, Texas students are wearing maroon and white in a show of support for the kids in Uvalde. Chris Fox, Uvalde, Texas.
A federal judge says she will appoint a special master to oversee the documents which were seized from Donald Trump's Florida home during that FBI raid last month.
The judge's ruling gives a green light to a third party to review those government documents that were taken from Mar-a-Lago. It also means the Justice Department will have to temporarily halt its criminal review, which could potentially delay the investigation by weeks or even months.
Correspondent Kristen Welker says Trump's legal team and the Department of Justice have until Friday to submit a list of names to serve as the special master in this case. It's now a murder investigation in Memphis after the discovery of a body in the hunt for an abducted mother of two and Tennessee teacher. Reporter Corey Dennison has more on what police are saying about the case today.
They have confirmed to us the body they found is 34-year-old Eliza Fletcher. The body was found in a grassy lot 7.5 miles from where Eliza Fletcher was abducted while jogging near the University of Memphis on Friday. The man who was arrested regarding her disappearance has now been charged with her murder.
Police in Canada say one of the the two brothers implicated in a mass stabbing spree over the weekend in Saskatchewan has been found dead outside a home on an Indian reservation. The other brother still missing and is believed to be armed and dangerous. 10 people were stabbed to death, another 19 hurt, in a crime spree that spanned 13 locations on and near that reservation north of the border. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is accusing the governor of Texas of being a bad Christian for busing illegal immigrants to her city.
He professes to be a Christian. This is not the Christianity and the teachings of the Bible that I know. And I think religious leaders all across the country are standing up and denouncing exactly this.
Fox News political analyst Will Kane.
What is inhumanitarian about this? What is horrific? What is unchristian? It would seem to me it would be unchristian to open yourself up as a sanctuary city and then reject those that come and seek sanctuary.
The governor of Texas says he will continue to bus migrants to cities like Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C. until the Biden administration does something about the border crisis. Boris Johnson is out. Liz Truss is in. As Britain's new prime minister, in his farewell speech, Johnson signaled support for the new administration.
Well, this is it, folks. I will be supporting Liz Truss and the new government every step of the way.
Truss is the third woman to serve as Britain's prime minister. She faces a number of daunting issues, though, as she assumes command at 10 Downing Street.
There could be trouble ahead for Liz Truss.
For her part, Truss will have to get straight to work tackling Britain's worst cost of living crisis since the 1950s.
Correspondent Vicky Barker. Still to come on the Noon Report, a Tuesday edition. First day back to school. Gas below $4 a gallon and strike continues in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon to all. We're going to stay mired in this rather moist airflow through the night ahead. I'll be back with the specifics in the complete forecast coming up. I'll look for you in 10 minutes.
All right, we will see you then. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the stories making news where you live next. For the first time in many months, gasoline is averaging below the $4 a gallon threshold in both New York and Pennsylvania. It has been a while since we could say that. Nationwide, it's averaging $3.75 a gallon, the lowest since March. Energy experts say, however, that's mostly because people are driving less due to inflation. At the end of next month, the U.S. will cease tapping into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and that's expected to send pump prices soaring once again. It is back to school and finally back to normal in Western New York. Dozens of districts welcoming kids back to the classroom today, and for the first time in nearly 3 years, there are no COVID restrictions. John McSwan is superintendent at Cleveland Hills in Cheektowaga.
The excitement is just, it's filling the air. No one has missed out on more than our students over the past few years, and we're genuinely excited to get them back into school.
And here's Matt Bystrack at West Seneca Central, the third largest school district in Western New York.
There is an energy and an enthusiasm that I have not seen in my time in the district. Folks are just really excited to get back to school.
Both superintendents say the return to normalcy after 2.5 years of COVID restrictions is what they are looking forward to the most this school year. Busing issues are going to be a major concern this school year.
Busing, I think, will be the number one concern for everybody.
Ed Spiedel works with special needs kids in the city of Buffalo.
The parents can get their kids to school early. That will help. They're also not going to penalize any kids for missing school or attendance lateness because of busing.
Busing issues was a big concern last year in Buffalo, and it's even worse this year due to the continued shortage of drivers. Police in Cattaraugus County say a 19-year-old man was killed over the weekend in a bizarre accident. It happened on Route 417 in the town of Portville. An out-of-control pickup truck driven by a 20-year-old struck a Jeep that was parked parked along the side of the road. That Jeep was then pushed forward and struck and killed that 19-year-old. The pickup then continued across a lawn, hitting two young women. An 18-year-old ended up in critical condition at ECMC. A 16-year-old was taken to Oshai Children's Hospital with multiple injuries. The Republican chairman of the Steuben County Legislature will be sworn in next week as the newest representative of New York's 23rd Congressional District. Joe Sempolinski will serve just 4 months before stepping down in early 2023. He's only serving until the new Congress is sworn in January.
Whether I'm an elected official or a staffer, whether it's federal or state, it's all the same. I just want to make the people that I love, my neighbors, my friends, the people of the Southern Tier, the people of the Finger Lakes, I want to make their lives better. And however I can do that, that's what's important.
Sempolinski said he made a promise to the people of the old 23rd District that he would represent them in Congress. The representative of the new 23rd District will be one of two men, Republican Nick Langworthy or Democrat Max Delapia. Those two will go head-to-head on Election Day, November 8th. Well, apparently there are lots more jobs available in Pennsylvania than there are people to fill those jobs. A new report by the Keystone Research Center finds the Commonwealth is still 160,000 jobs short of the employment levels seen just prior to the pandemic. Striking nursing home workers in Pennsylvania say there is no end in sight to their job action. Hundreds of employees at dozens of nursing homes throughout the Commonwealth have taken to the picket lines to protest for better pay, better benefits, and better working conditions.
You know, we are out here in the rain, and we might be getting wet, but our spirits certainly are not damp. Keep the faith.
The workers have been on strike since Friday, and that is leaving thousands of families wondering about the quality of care that their elderly loved ones are receiving now in Pennsylvania. Another New York State Fair is in the books, and officials have announced the final fair attendance figures this year. More than 878,000 people filed through the turnstiles during that 13-day fair in Syracuse. That's a 10% increase from last year's attendance. And the fair last year ran much longer, 18 days. Now, between 2015 and 2019, the average annual fair attendance was over 1 million in New York. A Pennsylvania company is trying to make things a little more affordable for truck drivers. Family Life's Brian Query has that story.
To help show their support for truck drivers, Pennsylvania convenience chain Sheetz has announced it'll be lowering diesel prices for the month of September. Starting yesterday and running through the end of the month, diesel prices at all 654 Sheetz locations will be reduced to $4.49 per gallon. Travis Sheetz, president and CEO of the chain, said truck drivers are the backbone of this country. As a company, we are committed to showing appreciation for our customers. We wanted to go above and beyond for Truck Driver Appreciation Week by providing extended offers that will be unquestionably beneficial to them. Sheetz is also offering a free meal to truck drivers, which must be redeemed through its mobile app. Brian Query, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's 13 past the hour. Let's check your midday sports next, right here on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob Aaron Judge hit home run number 54 last night, and the Yankees beat Minnesota 5-2. Also going deep for the Bronx Bombers were Marwin Gonzalez and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. For the Twins, the loss drops them out of first place in the AL Central. They now trail Cleveland by a game as the Guardians beat Kansas City in 10, 6-5. Toronto put a serious dent in Baltimore's playoff hopes, taking a pair from the Orioles, 7-3 and 8-4. Tampa Bay down Boston 4-3. The White Sox edge Seattle 3-2. Houston shut out Texas 1-0. And the Angels dominated Detroit 10-0. Over in the National League, the Mets-Pirates game was rained out. The game will be made up on Wednesday as part of a split doubleheader. Milwaukee won 6-4 over Colorado. The Nats shut out St. Louis 6-0. Arizona also won by a shutout 5-0 over San Diego. And the Giants took down the Dodgers 7-4. To the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers have officially named Mitch Trubisky their starting quarterback. He'll be backed up by Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. And at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, a huge upset for American Francis Tiafoe. He knocked out the number 2 seed Rafael Nadal in 4 sets, and that moves him into the quarterfinals. This will be only the second major in 22 years that will not have either number 1 or number 2 reach the quarterfinals. You know what they say, on any given day. That is a look at sports.
Yeah, it is an exciting open for sure. Thank you, Randy. Still to come on the Noon Report, murder case in Memphis. 62 days now till the midterms and changing of the guard on the other side of the pond.
Teen mental health is in bad shape. In fact, as long as we have been measuring it, it's never been this bad. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. As New York Times journalists Michael Barbaro and Matt Richel discussed recently on the Daily podcast, we are facing in America an unprecedented crisis when it comes to teen mental health. Mere decades ago, the major threats to the health and well-being of young people in the West were all external ones, like illness, car accidents, risky sexual behavior, alcohol, smoking. But today, the greatest threats to the health and well-being of young people are internal. As Richter reported, in 2019, 13% of all adolescents reported having a major depressive episode. That's a 60% increase from 2007. Teen suicide rates, which had been stable for nearly a decade prior to 2007, leapt nearly 60% by 2018. Well, the factors behind this tsunami of depression, anxiety, and self-harm are many, one of which is the internet. In 2017, Dr. Gene Twenge of San Diego State University noted that the spike in adolescent mental health problems reached a crescendo in 2012. That's the year that the percentage of Americans who own smartphones surpassed 50%. Exposing developing brains to an overwhelming amount of social information, she argued, was contributing to a massive, unprecedented uptick in mental health issues. On one hand, social media has brought the near constant experience of social comparison to the developing minds of 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. On the other hand, the sheer amount of panicked, hyperbolized, and truly frightening headlines a student has to navigate these days is unprecedented in human history. So we might forgive students who have become convinced that the world is completely out of control. Now, in the face of this exploding mental health crisis among young people, the demand for care is now outpacing the number of trained counselors and psychologists. So pediatricians and emergency room personnel have become first responders. As Richter observed in the podcast, quote, every night in emergency rooms across the country, there are at least 1,000 young people spending the night waiting in a room to get to the next level of care where they can be helped, end quote. Now, in every generation, followers of Christ have seen protecting and caring for vulnerable children as a crucial part of their calling. Today, children are vulnerable to radically changing social conditions, to harmful ideas about their minds and bodies, the loss of institutions crucial to their health and well-being, and to a barrage of bad news. The first step in fulfilling our calling today is, in the words of my friend Dr. Matthew Sleeth, to hope always. Children need to know the truth about life, about the world, about themselves and God. And we, of all people, can give it to them. Now, of course, parents have to limit and help guide children through their digital interactions, as nearly every expert recognizes. But this crisis is not merely a crisis of media. It's a crisis of meaninglessness. That's why one Harvard psychologist writing in Scientific American argued that psychiatry needs to get right with God. To that end, we've developed a new Colson Center Educators course taught by Dr. Matthew Sleeth to help equip parents and pastors and educators with some tools that can help them meet this current crisis. Also, tonight is the latest in our Lighthouse Voices series. The title of tonight's talk is Despair, Mental Health, and the Crisis of Meaning, How Christians Can Speak Life to a Lost Culture. This is a live event featuring Dr. Ryan Burkhardt from Colorado Christian University. To register for the live event in Holland or for the live stream, just visit us at ColsonCenter.org. Christians have an obligation to care. When we see the brokenness of the world around us, we are to imitate the work of Christ and running to that brokenness. In his name, we can be a force for good in this lifetime. And God willing, help reverse the tide. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams next.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast. It will be overcast and dreary this afternoon tonight with a few spots of rain, drizzle, and fog. Temperatures not moving much. Highs this afternoon, upper 60s to low 70s, and we're in the 60s overnight tonight. Clouds still stubborn much of tomorrow with a morning shower and some fog. High temps, low 70s, but more in the way of sunshine arrives Thursday with high temps in the 70s to near 80.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Back to work, back to school. Lots going on. This Tuesday, the 6th day of September, will begin in Memphis, where police are now investigating a murder. They have identified the body of 34-year-old Tennessee teacher Eliza Fletcher. She'd been missing since last week when she went for a jog early Friday. The man charged with her murder made his first court appearance today. Fletcher was last seen before being forced into his SUV 4 days ago. Reporter Jesse Kirsch.
Court documents saying the suspect ran aggressively toward Fletcher amid a violent struggle. She was allegedly inside the parked SUV roughly 4 minutes before it drove away.
Former federal prosecutor Amy Lauren says a lot can happen in 4 minutes.
In the criminal context, that's actually a very long time. That's enough time for him to restrain her. That's enough time for him to seriously harm her.
Fletcher disappeared around 4 a.m. Friday morning while going for a jog near the University of Memphis. Her remains were positively identified a couple hours ago. It was back to school today in Uvalde, Texas. Students returning to classes for the first time since the mass shooting last May.
This semester, Angelie isn't just starting fifth grade without her twin sister. She and her older sister won't be in a classroom at all. Instead, they'll be taught from home.
I just don't feel safe sending them to school.
Despite newly installed 8-foot fencing and more than a dozen other enhanced security measures at district schools, Angelie's parents say it's still not enough.
A new development today in the stabbing spree that left 10 dead over the weekend in Canada. Police in Saskatchewan say one of two brothers suspected in the grisly crimes has been found dead outside a home on an Indian reservation.
Damian Sanderson was located deceased on James Smith Cree Nation. So the question now is, where's Miles?
Miles Sanderson considered armed and dangerous. Those stabbings happened at 13 locations. 19 people were injured. With Labor Day behind us and the school year ahead of us, it is prime time for politics. With just 2 days to go or 2 months to go before the November midterms, political pundits say President Biden is trying to put Donald Trump on the ballot with his repudiation of MAGA Republicans.
It's clear which way the new MAGA Republicans are. They're extreme. And democracy is really at stake.
Pennsylvania Republican Glenn Thompson.
To demonize an acronym of Make America Great Again, I have no idea how that term could be divisive. That is something that we should all aspire to.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan says to make the midterms about Donald Trump is a risky move.
We went from safe streets to record crime. We went from a secure border to no border. We went from $2 gas to $5 gas, and we went from stable prices to record inflation.
17 states are now thinking of joining California in banning the sale of gas-powered vehicles by 2035. The Biden administration wants half of all new vehicle sales to be electric vehicles by the year 2030. Stuart Varney with the Fox Business Channel says we have an energy crisis on our hands, and the Green New Deal won't fix that.
We are in a worldwide energy crisis at this point, and I think it's going to get worse.
While announcing the gas vehicle ban last week, California Governor Gavin Newsom also warned people with electric vehicles not to power them up either, out of fear that the electric grid would become overburdened, leading to rolling blackouts. A federal judge has granted former President Trump's request for a third-party review of the documents seized during the raid at Mar-a-Lago. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
I think federal investigators recognize they may be coming up on a detour or a delay. The length, the scope,
The breadth of that delay is less than clear right now, but it's going to take days just to get through the naming of a special master process, much less the actual special master's review.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer says the DOJ seized 11,000 documents from Trump's home last month.
The FBI, the Department of Justice, they're going to have a lot of explaining to do as to why they took so many documents, in addition to so many other questions. But in the short term, this was a big victory for Donald Trump.
The judge who granted the special master request has given both sides, the DOJ and Trump's legal team, until Friday to submit a list of names to serve as the special master. It is now 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
Welcome back to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Mark Webster, and this week's guests are David and Louisa Stone of Williamsport Bicycle Recycle, making cycling more accessible for the residents of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. What led you to create Bicycle Recycle?
David and I had run a bike tour we called the Tour de Bill in 2008. And we did that for a couple of years with the YMCA. And at the end of the tour, people did want to have more bikes. They were interested in used bikes. A lot of people wanted to get back into biking. So we found a place at the Pajama Factory in Williamsport and joined a nonprofit where we set up a shop. We do two things. People bring us donated bikes, and we rehab them if we can, and or take parts or recycle them if we can't. We also teach people how to repair bikes, and that's the part of our business that's really been expanding recently. So we charge $20 an hour for our labor, but the deal is that the person coming in and getting the repair participates in the repair so that they leave the bike shop with a bike that's rideable and the knowledge, we hope, to be able to take care of their bike.
How did the pandemic affect cycling and your efforts there in Williamsport?
It increased our business. Many people were looking for recreation, just getting out. We're near places to bike. We have bike trails along the river in Williamsport. They wanted to exercise, just getting out. They want to get their kids out. So that we really experienced an increase in our business. And even though the pandemic is sort of over now, we continue to have an increase in business.
This sounds like a true labor of love for you guys.
Yeah. That's fun.
One of the amazing things is how many bikes get dropped off. In a typical night, we'll have half a dozen or to a dozen bikes just appear. You know, the people see this bike they've had in their garage for the last 5 or 6 years and they haven't ridden it, and they decide rather than take it to the landfill, they'll give it to us. And we have people who come from as far away as State College and even Mansfield, which always kind of amazes me. But I think last year we had over 1,000 bikes given to us, and we have a whole back room full of bikes waiting to be worked on, and we kind of work on them as we can. And the ones we can fix up, we fix up, and we take parts off of bikes that we can't restore. And so we make what I call our Frankenstein bikes, where we take a piece, a derailleur here, a brake there, and so forth, or tires, and end up with a functional bike.
People who come in with their bikes, something simple, their brakes, or they don't know how to fix a flat tire, or they don't know how to adjust the seat, that's easy enough for us to show them. And they sit down right next to one of our mechanics, and they get the tools, and they handle the tools. And it's amazing. David says, you know, why don't you go get the wrench? And the person says, what is the wrench? Well, it's time to find out.
Clearly, this is, as I said before, a labor of love for you guys, not just a business. So when you look back someday later on, what do you hope
will have been the biggest accomplishment for Bicycle Recycle?
I think that the connectedness we have with people at the shop and the community that we kind of nurtured is one of the really positive things. I think also there's a whole movement of trying to make bike-friendly cities and getting people out of their cars, exercising more, and being able to connect in a small town way. We've been working on that, and it's a struggle, but I think we're making some progress. We hope to focus on that even more in the future.
And one thing I'd just like to add is I feel for both of us, meeting a vast number of people that we would never, ever meet on our jobs. I was a professor and David was an engineer. We're meeting just a lot of people, and it really broadens your experience and, you know, what's life like for a lot of different people. And people who come into the shop, customers will begin talking to each other too. You know, people they don't know. You just get a whole different perspective on the community that you live in. And it's fun too. We've had a lot of laughs.
That's David and Louisa Stone of Williamsport Bicycle Recycle in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, making the joys of cycling more accessible to the people of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Please join us again next week as we search for your home, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Mark, thank you for that. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Everyone heading back to work in school this week, and we do so with fairly moist conditions, but with the expectation that things will be drying out as the week wears on. As the front and low pressure center that brought the recent rains and thunderstorms moves away, drier air and higher pressure builds in with increasing sun and increasing temperatures later in the week. But in the short term, what you see is pretty much what you get. There will be a few breaks in the clouds across some areas near Lake Ontario, especially up around Niagara in western New York. But otherwise, it will be overcast and dreary this afternoon, tonight, with a few spots of rain, drizzle, and fog. Temperatures not moving much. Highs this afternoon, upper 60s to low 70s, and we're in the 60s overnight tonight. Clouds still stubborn much of tomorrow, with a morning shower and some fog. High temps, low 70s. But more in the way of sunshine arrives Thursday with high temps in the 70s to near 80.
All right, Kevin, thank you. And finally at noon, the changing of the guard at 10 Downing Street. Britain's new prime minister has taken the oath of office. And correspondent Vicky Barker tells us what that looks like exactly.
In the U.S., power passes to the new president in public after an oath of office. In Britain, the Queen presides over a private ceremony called the kissing of the hands.
We don't think hands are kissed anymore, and it's more of a handshake.
Historian Anna Whitelock says Her Majesty will likely offer insights and advice in her weekly meetings with this, the 15th prime minister of her reign. Whether Liz Truss takes that advice, we'll never know. Vicky Barker, London.
And Liz Truss, by the way, just the third female prime minister in Britain history. So a little history being made there today on the other side of the pond. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, the 6th day of September. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.